So what happens if you decide that you don't want to partake in a relationship anymore? That's one question.
Partake
in a student-teacher relationship after you've gone a fair way into it. And then the next question is, what happens if you associate with other people who have decided to opt out of the relationship, but you yourself are still a student?
If you have decided to discontinue the relationship, well, this happens a lot, all the time. Oh, it depends, you know. If the guru is not a good one, your merit is shining again.
If the guru is a good one.
If the guru is a good one, then big obstacle is coming on the way. I guess.
Like what?
No. That is obstacle. That itself is a very big obstacle. Happens a lot. Especially for the Vajrayana practitioners. Because closer and closer you get to the maturity of the path becomes more simple and simple, and the simplicity is something that people cannot trust. People are too used to complications, and this happens a lot. In that case, it's an obstacle. What to do? Nothing much. Then what was the second question?
The second question was, it's in regards to people saying, associating with other people who have bad samaya.
Oh, right. You brought it right on time. I had written it down somewhere. That is another big issue, I know. It has really made... This is a very... something to be really careful. Judging that someone has broken the samaya, first of all, it's so difficult. So difficult. But we know, especially for the Vajrayana practitioner, one is not supposed to even breathe in the same, I don't know, environment or something like that. Sometimes the Vajrayana people, they exaggerate like that. It's good, for good reason though, you know, just disciplining. It's a realistic art, kind of. Disciplining method. But, what is it? Not so. I think not associating of the Vajrayana's instructions to not to associate can't mean giving up this sentient being out of your compassion boundary. Can never mean that. Otherwise you are breaking the root Vajrayana vow. Why break many vows for the sake of keeping one? Almost doesn't make any sense. But this has caused a lot of problem, I think. Really, really caused so much unnecessary problems, I think. Outcasting people. I think the easiest solution is ask the Guru himself what to do. If the Guru says yes, don't speak with them, him, her, don't go near them, then that's it. If the Guru says, no, talk to them, be gentle with them, be compassionate, then do that. I think that's the best. Otherwise it's too subtle, very subtle. Almost impossible to decide by oneself.
sometimes one of the more tricky situations is the gossip. Like, for example, let's not say anything about anyone, Tibetan, but in India, for example, you know, you might know that a certain person had a relationship with a drug runner who stole guns, and, you know, or you might know, or you might have been told that this person practices black magic, and if you go there, then this, that, and the other, and so on and so on. So, I mean, and then somebody says, oh, I really want to go and see so-and-so. And you say, oh, that person, you know. And you had an impulse to pass on the gossip, you know. Then I think that's one of the more tricky situations. What do you think?
Tricky to who?
Well, because maybe they have a big faith and you want to share, you know, what you heard and... But you think, oh, maybe...
Oh, right. You want to save him or her from going to a wrong person, you mean?
Right.
Yeah. Difficult. Happened to me many times. One... What else can you do? Maybe better say, this is what you have heard, but by no means that you are trying to influence, you are just trying to be honest and kind and really check yourself first, whether you are being honest or kind, and then say that this is what I've heard, but main decision is up to you. Because that's all we can say. Who knows, maybe this drug dealer, gun runner is actually a really highly realized Mahasiddha. We never know. Most likely they are Mahasiddha, actually. Most likely. I think they are most likely. But they are I told you this already, very difficult to be with.
Yesterday you mentioned the karmic link between teacher and student and the important role of that. Could you just expand a bit on that?
I think I have covered almost all of them. Okay. When we read the Hatha Sutra in the morning, in case you haven't noticed, when we say sons and the daughters of the noble family, this noble family is what you need to know if you want to know the karmic link. Now, don't think as Buddhism has come from India, this must be related to some kind of a caste system. You know, some are noble family, you know, like duke, like this kind of thing. It's got nothing to do with that. I used to not like the word family, but now actually I like Rik. In Tibetan we call it Rik. Rikchi Putam Pumo. Rik, the name, the meaning of Rik, can also refer to race, isn't it? Race, family, race, species, yeah? Basically, you, the type, you belong to that type. Like, I think we also have here in Australia, you belong to a certain family, race, you even have a name. Surname, right? Surname. That's what you get. So when Buddha said sons and the daughters of the noble family, he is actually referring to every sentient beings. Because all sentient beings belong to, they all have one thing common, that is, they all have the Buddha nature. And that's why they are sons and the daughters of the noble family. It also, you know, it's in almost an inheritance also. Like the enlightenment, so-called enlightenment is like an inheritance. Everybody is entitled to claim. Okay? But now this goes also a little bit further. There's fundamentally only one race, one family, Buddha nature. But if you want to sort of have slightly more divisions, then five Buddha family. This five Buddha family is usually based on five emotions. Pure aspect of the five emotions are the five wisdom, and the maturity of the five wisdoms are five Buddha family. So it can happen something like a, okay, based on that, I'm talking about a karmic link with the Guru. Guru and the deity, whatever. Let's say you are a jealous type. That is the emotion you have. That means you have the potential of a particular wisdom. What's associated with the jealousy? All accomplishment wisdom. Which the majority of that is the Amoghasiddhi Buddha. Okay? Now, this is very, very tantric, big teaching. So it's not necessarily you look for a master who is also jealous type. Maybe you need a master who is you understand, that on that that family, based on that family, it works with a link. Because you belong to the same type. And sometimes, just because you belong to the same type does not mean you can communicate. It's better to have another type, so that you can understand better. This also happens. Okay, that's on the very high level. On the more general level, someone whom you have connection in the past lives. Someone, you know, this Duptop Rinpoche that I was telling you earlier, one who sleeps with shoes. He's Duptop Rinpoche, he's supposedly incarnation of Thangtong Gyalpo, the great master Thangtong Gyalpo. I asked him once whether he remembers his past life being Thangtong Gyalpo. Then he said something wonderful, which is amazing, so profound. He said, I cannot even dare to think that I am a reincarnation of Thangtong Gyalpo, because Thangtong Gyalpo is a great master, realized being, and look, I am. He was telling, so deluded and all that. But he said, Thangtong Gyalpo used to be a bridge builder in Tibet. He used to build lots of bridges. He was the one who first started opera, Tibetan opera. He had the opera composed, and people would come and watch the opera. With this, he raised the money, and then he built bridge, different places in Tibet. Then he said, in all this bridge construction works, so many insects must have died. You know, small insects in the earth. And Thangtong Gyalpo, being a great compassionate bodhisattva, he must have prayed everything that I have done, doing, such as building the bridge, and anything that is connected to such things, such as small insects dying, may this eventually benefit sentient beings. In Thangpong, this Tupsa Rinpoche, my teacher, he said, he feels that he is one of those insect, incarnation of this insect, that Thangpong Gyalpo prayed that in the future, that one of these insect will benefit sentient beings. This is a really beautiful sort of declaration, and definitely he did help a lot of sentient beings himself, this insect incarnation, if he happened to be one. He's my teacher. He also gives teachings to Sarana Sakyachusen. Amazing, great, great master. So, even a small insect can do such things, I guess. Karmic link works like that. Here.
In a situation like that, this Rinpoche is saying perhaps he's not an incarnation of Thangpong Gyalpo at all, but an insect. Is that not somehow him betraying his trust in his own teacher who recognized him?
That's an interesting question. I've been asked this many times. I don't think so. Because okay, how do I put this? Because Drupal Rinpoche or any other lamas, certainly the Dalai Lama did once like this, I remember. Because we consider the Dalai Lama as the incarnation of Avalokiteshvara. Or someone asked him something and then he said something similar. He said he doesn't remember being one of those great bodhisattvas, but he thinks that he may be a cowherd boy in India when Buddha Shakyamuni was teaching under the sal tree, and this cowherd boy has just sort of passed by and saw some maroon robed, you know, monks doing something under the tree, and that's it. But just because of that connection, he has now reborn as masters, like this, something like that. I think all this kind of thing, there's something to learn, because these people, they don't think. It's there's no use to think whether they are Avalokiteshvara or not, they are Thangpong Gyalpo or not. It's useless to think. It is useful to tell people they are not, because it destroys ego and the pride of the students. Something like that. Yeah. Shanti.
Um, I just wanted to clarify something that Sarah was saying about opted out. I just want to know what opting out is.
Opting out?
Is that someone who is an enemy of the teacher? Or
no. Enemy of the teacher.
Or just someone who doesn't believe in it and has left the Dharma? Or is it someone who has faith but doesn't practice? I'm just curious.
I see. No. There's a good story in this. Dorchenti Isha Dorje. Incarnation of great Jingme Lingpa. Really wild man. Giant Chenze Wangpo, the great, the first giant Chenze Wangpo. Also the incarnation of the same person. When they were alive, they were bickering each other, backbiting each other all the time. What's this Dorchen, this wild thief, robber doing? Giant Chedavang would say. And Dorchen Zeyeshi Dorje would say, what's this fake? Because Jayan Chedavamba is very proper. This fake hypocrite thing he's doing, mixing up everything, meaning he was compiling and collecting all the teachings, right? All is backbiting each other. And students also become kind of divided. Also, really. So one day, Dorchen Zeyeshi Dorje is going around everywhere. Nobody knows where he is also. One day, Jame Chintze Wangpo, when his attendant in the morning brought breakfast, Jame Chintze Wangpo, nothing special happened, but Jame Chintze Wangpo asked the attendant, how do I look today? The attendant said, you look same. Nothing changed. Then Jayan Chen Zhang was a little puzzled and said, funny? Because Jayan Chen Zhang was known for being very, very majestic and kind of people a bit afraid of him. Nobody dared to speak to him. I guess he also knows that. And Jayan Chen Zhang said, I'm known for being kind of not that easy to get along. People are afraid. And I thought, when one person is like that, and when two people become one person, I would think even more, I would have become even more majestic. That's what he said as a reply. She was very puzzled. After a few days, people knew there was a messenger that Dorchen Zeyeshi Dorje died somewhere near China. And the attendant was so happy, at last this sort of our enemy died, passed away. Completely missing the point of Jayan Chintze Wangpo. He was saying, we are the same. We never know what's going on, Many times there are things like that.
It's not working. Rinpoche. For the last 24 hours, I've been contemplating your teaching on being the fish and being the shit, or the fly and the shit. And also your metaphors about being the bee and the flower and the moth to the flame. And I'm wondering if you would speak on the possibility of being all these things simultaneously, and also what happens when you realize you actually want to be in the tiger's mouth.
You have answered everything. Yeah. You can all be simultaneously, all of them. And if you are near the tiger's mouth, just know that there's nothing much to lose. And you might miss out the experience of interior of tiger's mouth.
So are you saying that when you realize that you are actually in the tiger's mouth, to remain completely awake as much as you possibly can?
Not so much choice, is there?
Thank you.
You better.
Ricochet, my question is more to do with the one that the nun asked. And my question is, I think I've been making a naive assumption about teachers. And I think I have thought that if you're a recognized teacher, then there's been some accomplishment based on the benefit of all beings. So when I've gone to teachings, I'm assuming that the person who's sitting in front of me is only sitting there and recognized because their bottom line was for the benefit of all beings. And then if that is the case, no matter how you are to me or anybody else, if that is there on a kind of like cellular level, because that's how you're incarnated,
mm-hmm.
then surely that is in every action. And is that very naive? I mean...
Naivety can be very good, I tell you. We don't know. I don't want to make any judgment here. My goodness, this God Rinpoche's story about dog and dog's tooth and the relics and all that. Naivety is one of the most beautiful qualities that a human being can possess. I would not want to do anything with naivety, this kind of naivety. Maybe we are not naive enough.
So, not worry about all this stuff then. Like, I'm thinking, should I be judging the teachers more? Or, yeah.
You can judge the teachers, but always know that your judgment is your judgment. And that will always save you, I think.
Perhaps could you talk a little bit about Guru's grace and Guru's compassion and where that...
Grace?
Guru's grace
and... You mean like this?
No.
Blessings. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, remember? We talked about stopping the... system, that's the blessing. Yes, in the Vajrayana, definition of blessing is, that's me, my own interpretation, is stopping the system.